This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
What kind of dead things do you have in your life? Things that are sucking up your time and bearing no good fruit at all. Well, let's talk about the curse of busyness. How many of you are too busy? Come on, don't give me none of this stuff. Let's see. When one of my granddaughters was 8 years old, she's now 18, and she's actually here in the service. Abby, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I'm trying to find exactly what you said so I don't mess it up, but she had to do some kind of paper about if you were going to give a gift, what kind of gift would you give? And she said, if I could give a gift to anybody, I'd give my grandma the gift of time because she's always so busy. So people notice. She was 8. And she noticed that her grandma was busy all the time. Don't be so busy just being busy that you don't have time for the things in your life that are really the most important. Don't just park your kid in front of a television. Talk to them. Amen. Americans are so busy, and we wear our busyness like a badge. We're proud of it. Let me tell you how busy I am and how much I've been doing. And sometimes I just want to say, but is it worth anything, or is it even what you're supposed to be doing? And today in our society, and I think most of you will agree, we have got an epidemic of people not keeping their word. I mean, I am so tired of that. Just so tired of that. You have an appointment, somebody doesn't show up. They don't even call you to tell you they're not coming. You call again. Well, what happened to you yesterday? I had an appointment. I took off work to meet you here. You didn't show up. Oh, I'm sorry. I got so busy. Well, I thought you were going to call me back. I'm sorry. I just got so busy. I've just got so much going on. I'm just so busy. You know what? That is a lame, dumb excuse. I mean, sometimes you can get busy and forget something, but if your excuse for not keeping your word is I'm busy, then you need to rework your schedule. Here's why, and I'm going to tell you a secret, and you can believe this or not believe it, but we all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours a day. It's not like, you know, I have too much time and you don't have enough time. Now, in a lifetime, some may live longer than others, but we all have 24 hours a day. And it's amazing to me that some people can accomplish so much with their time while other people just do absolutely nothing with theirs. And so I want to say, are you busy? But what are you busy doing? What do you have to show for it? At the end of the day, what are you going to have to show for it at the end of your life? How many really good friends do you have? You got to put time into stuff like that. And you know, I don't mean this at all to be disrespectful. They've both passed on, my mom and dad, and thankfully they're both in heaven. And so since in heaven you can't get mad, they can't get mad at me for what I'm going to say. So. And they would agree now that they see the other side, but my mom and dad, they just basically wasted their whole life. When my dad died, he was 86. There was nobody that cared one thing about him. Didn't have any friends. I mean, I took care of my mom and dad until they died, and, you know, we tried to treat them decent, but because of what had happened in my life, it was never really like I had a real mom and dad. And I had one brother who ended up committing suicide from drugs and alcohol, and they didn't have any money. They couldn't take care of themselves. They were sick. Life is a gift from God. And every day that you have is a gift, and it's precious. And when I say don't waste it, I'm not saying that you have to be working all the time. The thing is to learn about God's rhythm and to learn how to discern and sense what you need to do when, and not be just led around by emotions and feelings. You know, if you know that you've got a mess in your home and you need to stay home for a few days and get things cleaned up, you can't get emotional every time somebody calls and wants you to take off and go somewhere. You got to be able to say no and stay focused and get the things done that you need to get done. But there's also times when you maybe want to work all day, and I would have a problem like this, and the better thing to do is not work at all and just lay on the couch all day in my pajamas and watch movies all day. And that's not a waste if it's something you need. But if you're doing that every day, then there's a little problem. So we have to have balanced lives, but just being busy. People, here's what I was going to tell you. You put your time into what's really important to you. If something is really important to you, then you will find the time to do it. So to say, I just can't find the time to study the Bible. I just can't find the time to pray. Well, time's not hiding from you. It's right there in front of your face. You don't have to go find it. You've got it. All you got to do is rearrange what you're doing with it a little bit and start putting first things first. And when you put first things first, everything else will seem to fall into place. Don't major in minors. Amen. John Maxwell, many of you probably heard of John Maxwell. He's awesome, and I have the privilege of being able to call him my friend. And he said this, that we should put 80% of our time into the top 20% of our strengths. Most people waste their time trying to strengthen their weaknesses, and they may improve only a very little, no matter how much effort they put into it, while they ignore the development of their strengths and things that they could truly excel at. If everything is a priority to us, then nothing is a priority, and we live confused and frustrated lives. Some people try to do everything, so they end up doing nothing really well. Amen? Peter Drucker said, there is nothing so useless as doing efficiently what should not be done at all. I'm going to say that again. There is nothing so useless as doing efficiently what should not be done at all. Now, one of the things that we need to do, Philippians 1 talks about, it's one of Paul's prayers, and it's interesting to me the things that Paul prayed for the church. His prayers were vastly different than a lot of ours is. He said, I pray that you might learn to recognize and treasure what is excellent, identifying the best and distinguishing the moral differences, so that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, actually living lives that lead others away from sin. Now, one of the reasons why I like the Amplified Bible is because I'll get something like that out of it. Now, see, that makes it plain. He wants you to live a life that actually leads other people away from sin. So, you've heard it before. Good is sometimes the greatest enemy of best. We think we might be doing a good thing by working at church 5 or 6 times a week, when it actually might be a better thing to work there twice a week and spend those other hours that you were working at church, because maybe it made you feel good about yourself. Might be better if you spent those talking to your teenage kids. So they don't try to have to learn everything they want to learn off the internet. Come on. Now we're going to talk about pruning tomorrow. How many of you know what pruning is? Oh yeah. You're going to have to be bold to come back tomorrow. Because Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he trims it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes it so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. So I finally got it. You're pruned if you do and pruned if you don't. So, in other words, here's the bottom line. God is not going to leave you alone and let you stay the same. Amen? God is after you. He wants to make every single one of us a better person, so we represent him better in the world, because people are dying and going to hell by the thousands every day. And let me tell you something, there are enough Christians in this earth that if we all got out there and acted out what we say we believe, I honestly believe the world would already be saved, Jesus could have come back, and we'd already be out of this mess. And pruning means to cut away dead parts. God is not interested in dead stuff. Amen? The one guy that Jesus called, he said, well, let me bury my dead relatives first. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Come on. What kind of dead things do you have in your life? Things that are sucking up your time and bearing no good fruit at all. Every one of you, and I'll include myself, if we would really be honest about what we're doing with our time, everybody in here can find time to do the most important things in life, which is spend time with God, know His Word, develop good relationships with people. All of those things are actually more important than making money. They are. And we spend so much time trying to climb the ladder of success. Don't spend your whole life doing that, and when you get to the top, finally realize your ladder's leaned against the wrong building. That you got what you thought you wanted, but it's not what you wanted after all. Don't just be busy. Make sure you're bearing good fruit.
Well, ask yourself this question. If Jesus came back today, would he find you busy or fruitful? Are you making your time count for something good? Ginger joins me now with some of your questions on this topic. It's a good topic, isn't it? Because
a lot of
people today, how many times do you say to somebody, how are you, and they answer busy?
Often. And it's a huge difference between those qualifications.
Right.
You know, are you doing something that is really making a difference, or are you just busy? And so often we feel overwhelmed, we feel overstressed, and that's not what God wants for us. Now, we can't always completely avoid it, but still, there's a better way.
Yeah, I almost think it's just I get so tired of that word, you know. I'm busy. Where I haven't heard from you in 2 years. Where have you been? I've just been busy. And we don't, God called us to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. In John 15, it says that if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. He wants us to be fruitful, not just busy. And so it's good for all of us to take a little inventory once in a while.
It is.
And saying, what am I doing with my time? And then, why am I doing this? Because a lot of times we're just doing things that we don't even want to do because we're afraid somebody will get upset if we don't, or, you know, we don't know how to say no to people. So I know you've got some questions. Let's see what we've got here.
People have some very good questions. This is Kelly from Florida asking, what do you believe was the most important habit that you obtained early on that has helped you to be so remarkably fruitful?
Well, part of my personality is just, I'm just a diligent person. If I have, if you give me something to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish it and complete it. I've always been a hard worker, but then there was a problem with some of that too, because in the beginning of, say, my walk with God, or, you know, from the time that God called me to do this, I had a lot of insecurity issues and didn't feel good about myself because I'd been abused in my childhood. So I tried to find worth and value in work. And it's interesting. Sure, they say that a lot of people that have been key leaders that have accomplished so much with their life were actually abused in the earlier parts of their life, because they will work so hard trying to feel like they have some worth and value. So, I, you know, diligence is great, and I'm disciplined, you know. But there's a balance, too, because you can be, go to the other side where I actually made myself sick several times because I did nothing but work. So, but that's probably just being diligent and following through, doing, you know, I think you have to be able to complete a project without somebody standing over you making sure you do it. You know, I'm self-motivated, self-starter, and I really have an understanding that I work for God and that I'm responsible to him. You know, I don't have, quote, a boss. God is my boss. And so, you know, I want to do things the way I believe he wants me to do them.
Yeah. And that really is a key component, because I'm sure many people watching could say, I'm busy all the time, but this project is not getting done.
Right.
I'm not meeting the finish line.
Well, a lot of people, I had somebody just recently ask me to pray for them that they would stay focused. Mm. They had something they needed to do by a certain time. And they said, please pray for me that I'll stay focused. This particular person has a hard time sticking with something without getting off on little rabbit tracks here or there.
Right.
And that is something that a lot of people do have a problem with. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, you need to start something and stick with it until you finish it.
Yeah. Well, Laura from Texas says, can you explain the difference between being fruitful versus being busy? What does that look like? And can you give an example of each? So sometimes you're just too busy, but sometimes you're being very fruitful. How do we know?
I think a lot of it comes into the why you're doing what you're doing. I really think you have to look at that to get the answer to that question. I mean, the biggest majority of people complain about their schedule. You know, how could anybody be expected to do all this? And I was having one of those days one time. It was like, God, how can anybody be expected to do all this? And he just spoke to my heart and said, you made your schedule. If you don't like it, change it. And so why am I doing this? Am I doing this because somebody just expects me to and I don't want to say no to them because I don't want to hurt their feelings? Am I doing this because it's just what I've always done? And maybe I no longer even need to be doing this. Maybe God got finished with it a long time ago, but I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
Is it something that somebody else that I know could do just as easily or perhaps even better than me? A lot of people, like a lot of moms, maybe they have kids that are old enough that could help with some certain chores, but they think the job won't get done as good as it would if they did it.
Right.
And, you know, that's pride when we have that attitude. It's like, well, if I don't do it, it's not going to be done right. Well, it may not be done the same way that you did it, but I guess a good example that I could give her would be whether to say yes or no to speaking engagements. Now, that may not be an issue she deals with, but in my case...
But she has yes or no questions to answer.
I get asked to do a lot of things. Will you write the foreword to my book? Will you come and teach at my conference? Can you do me a favor and go speak at my friend's church? You know, can you do an interview? You know, I mean, there's dozens of different things. And until you're secure enough to say no, you're always going to be taken advantage of. Because, you know, people, because my dad was an angry man, I didn't and still don't like for people to be mad at me.
Sure.
Because he was angry all the time. And so I had a tendency to say yes to things because I didn't want to make somebody angry. But the key is really if anybody asks you to do something, they're not going to like it if they get a no.
True.
They want a yes.
Yeah.
But if they really love you, if it's a healthy relationship, they're going to respect your right to say no, and they're not going to make you feel bad or guilty if you say, I'm sorry, but I just can't do that. I have...
Very true.
You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to keep my priorities straight, and I just have too many other things I'm doing. So I think to ask yourself why you're doing it is the answer to her problem. Not a problem, but her question.
Right. And I think this goes right along with it because the motive, the why, is so important. So Carol from Kansas says, I have so many great things that I'm doing in my life, but I'm exhausted all the time. How do I know which good things God would want me to continue doing and which things I should stop?
Which ones are bearing the most fruit? You know, I mean, I can spend my time running all over the place speaking at somebody else's conference.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can say no to some of those things and stay right here and put that same amount of time into television, and I can reach millions of people in 30 minutes.
Right.
Or I can spend every weekend of my life running, going, going, running, 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 going, going, going. And I mean, and there was a time for that in my life.
Right.
I think that's one of the problems that we have is there's a time for everything. And there was a time for that in my life. And it was helpful to me. It was helpful to the ministry. It helped, you know, get me out there. It helped people know that I was even in ministry, and I appreciated every one of those opportunities. It's not that I didn't appreciate them, but then as the ministry grew, I didn't need to do that anymore. And somebody said something to me one time that I thought was really good. This was way back in the beginning, and I was doing little small things, you know, like there were different organizations. There was Women's Aglow and Full Gospel Businessmen and different things like that, and there were great opportunities, and I would go do that, but now I had opportunities to speak to larger crowds. But I didn't want these people to think I thought I was too good now to do their thing.
They're both important. They're both good things.
Because people would even say that. Well, you know, now that you're getting to be bigger, don't forget us little small people. And somebody said something to me. They said, you know, there's people waiting in the wings that God wants to use in those beginning positions.
Mm.
But if you never say no to them, no room will ever be made for them to come into the beginning.
Yeah.
And I thought that
was a great way to
was really good. You know, it's like even like your job here. And I heard you say a couple of weeks ago that you're really at a point where you know there's some things you need to let go of, but you enjoy them, you like them. It's hard to do it, but then, you know, there's a place, and I forget what book it's in, but it's in the Old Testament, where Moses was wearing himself out because he said, well, the people come to me and I have to judge them. And God said, if you keep this up, you're going to wear out both yourself and the people.
That's right.
Well, why would he wear the people out? Because God had anointed them for jobs. Mm-hmm. And people get very disgruntled if they have gifts and there's never any place for them to use them. Sometimes we need, for the sake of just God's overall plan, to be able to say no to things and let other people be promoted and come up.
Right. It's important for them.
Right.
As much as it is for what God wants to do in our lives.
I know I gave some long answers, but
those are great answers. Really helpful, practical things.
Hope it gets the point across to people. Thank you. Well, today we're offering you three teachings called Busy Going Nowhere. And I think we could probably all use that. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Well, I'm busy, 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 but I'm not getting anywhere. And then also, one of my favorite little books that I've written, 100 Ways to Simplify Your Life. Ginger and I were talking about it before we started the show. It's almost like a 100-day devotional. Every day for 100 days, you can read another way that you could simplify your life. And so I believe between the teachings and the book, you can get started in a brand new way of doing things. Thank you for being with us today. We love you. And join us again tomorrow.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed with the busyness of life, but wonder what you're really accomplishing? Joyce's 3-CD series, Busy Going Nowhere, will help you learn to make the most of your time with God's help and live a life that's both productive and enjoyable.
What kind of dead things do you have in your life? Things that are sucking up your time and bearing no good fruit at all. We all have 24 hours a day, and it's amazing to me that some people can accomplish so much with their time while other people just do absolutely nothing with theirs.
Along with Busy Going Nowhere, you'll also receive Joyce's book, 100 Ways to Simplify Your Life, which will give you practical steps on balancing your family and work life effectively so that you're fruitful, not just busy. You can receive these helpful resources for your gift of $25 or more. Visit us at joycemeyer.org or call us toll free at 1-800-727-9673.
Watch episodes of Enjoying Everyday Life. Read daily devotionals. Follow a Bible study plan. Here, 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 and here. The same great teaching from Joyce that you know and love, now in the palm of your hand. With the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Think of it as your daily dose of encouragement. Right here, right now. Search Joyce Meyer in your app store and download the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app today.
You're hardworking, an achiever. The fast pace can stress you out and lead to burnout unless you make the necessary changes now. Joyce Meyer wants to teach you how with her newest book, How to Age Without Getting Old. In these pages, you'll learn how to let God lead you today so you can be even more effective in the future. How to Age Without Getting Old, new from Joyce Meyer. Order your copy today.
For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.